Welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padula in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Our program this time is dedicated to a section of the history of shortwave radio in Australia, and in particular, the first shortwave stations in Victoria dating back to the 1920s. In the mid-1930s, 3UZ, Melbourne, the Melbourne Medium Wave Commercial Station, carried out special shortwave tests on 32 metres. That's about 9375 on Mondays, Wednesdays and Saturdays between 7 and 9pm local time here. A transmitter of 120 watts was used, crystal controlled. This was one of the very few occasions that this type of dual shortwave, medium wave broadcast had been carried out. At that time, the medium wave transmitter was only 500 watts. In mid-1927, the Broadcasting Company of Australia, which operated station 3LO in Melbourne on medium wave, had been devoting considerable time and effort to the question of a regular international broadcasting service, and decided to install a shortwave transmitter. At about the same time, the shortwave station operated by the AWA company in Sydney, that's Amalgamated Wireless of Australia, had successfully carried out telephony tests on shortwave for reception in England, which were heard in June of that year. In 1927, further experimental work in Melbourne continued, which resulted in the construction of a new station, a new shortwave transmitter built by AWA, and which was installed at the AWA transmitting site at Braybrook, a suburb of Melbourne, where the medium wave facility of 3LO was located. 3LO was later relocated to a station to a location further out at the suburb of Sydenham, where it was to share the newly built mast with 3AR. Braybrook is now an industrial suburb west of the city of Melbourne. This new transmitter was tested for several weeks using Morse and was successfully received throughout the world on 10070, that's about 29.8 metres. Antenna power was 3 kilowatts, and it was intended that this new shortwave transmitter would form the basis of a regular overseas service for Europe and America. The first broadcast of the new transmitter took place on September the 7th, 1927, from midnight through until 5am local Melbourne time. It went on air on the new frequency in the 32-metre band of 9375, a slight change from the frequency used for the tests. The broadcast commenced as soon as the regular medium-wave service of 3LO closed down. It created a record for Australia for the length of time and variety seen. More than 80 people were in the studio that night. Everyone above the rank of working journalist was in evening clothes, and a report in the Listener Inn, a Melbourne radio broadcasting newspaper, said that the dressing of the ladies was resplendent. The program featured speeches, musical items, correspondence reports, editorial items and news originating from the studios of the Melbourne newspaper, The Herald. The Million Shilling Fund was brought to the world, as were musical items from Joe Arant's Cinco Symphonists and the Collingwood Citizens Band. Collingwood is a suburb of Melbourne. The broadcast continued right throughout the night until around 5am, and the first indication that it was being heard outside of Australia came just before 1am. When the station in Java, that's in what is now Indonesia, announced that they were hearing the program without difficulty. PCJJ in Holland and the British Broadcasting Company both announced that the station had begun to fade in the European area. As well as the overseas listeners, the station hoped to attract a substantial number of listeners from within Australia who sat up until midnight to hear this historic broadcast. Of interest is this announcement, which was given at midnight. This is station 3LO Melbourne, Australia, broadcasting on a wavelength of 32 metres. Major Condell, manager of the Australian Broadcasting Company, read an address prepared by the Prime Minister, Mr. Bruce. And by all accounts, this international broadcast from Melbourne was a tremendous success. The call sign was 3ME, or abbreviated from VK3ME, and as it started out on 9375, which was later changed to 9507 in the year 1935. Its schedule was then 8pm to 10pm on Wednesday and Saturday nights. There were further changes to scheduling in the 1930s, and by October 1936, its schedule had changed to 7pm to 10pm, Mondays to Saturdays, and there was a mailbag session on Wednesdays at 9pm, and the frequency had by then been adjusted to 9510. In 1935 to 1936, operations are also on 9520. And in 1936, it's reported that the opening signal, the tuning signal of 3ME, was a series of clock chimes. In 1939, 3ME was closed down by the Australian government at the onset of World War II. So that's the history of the first shortwave broadcasting stations in Victoria, here in Australia, dating back to the mid-1920s. In the year 1921, an experimental wireless receiving station was set up at an area west of Melbourne at the location known as Coowee-Rupp in Victoria. AWA selected the site as the site for this experimental station. It's about 60 kilometres southwest of Melbourne on flat, swampy land. It is now a thriving rural community. The site of the station was in Rossiter Road, on land owned by John Mickle, and operated from early 1921 to 1922. It was at this station that it was confirmed that direct and efficient communication between Great Britain and Australia was feasible. At that time, radio communications were sent and received by a series of relays. Wireless telegraphy signals sent from Britain had already been received directly in Australia as early as 1918, as European stations could be heard at certain times in Australia. These transmissions are affected by weather and especially solar activity, as anyone with a modern-day high-frequency radio will know. Great Britain had proposed the establishment of an imperial radio scheme based on a series of relays at the Imperial Conference of 1921, the forerunner of the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting. Australia would have been at a disadvantage under this scheme, as we were at the end of the line and many relays were situated in politically unstable countries. Kirirup Station was experimental and used a heterodyne-type receiver with six stages of radio frequency amplification and two stages of audio frequency amplification. The operators realised that their research showed that wireless signals could be received over long periods each day from New York, Rome, England, Paris and Germany, and were consistent enough to prove that direct wireless telegraphy communication was both practical and reliable between Australia and Britain. Experiments were continued and eventually an experimental station was established at Kirirup. A directional aerial having a heart-shaped pole and diagram was employed, and the old receiver was replaced by a new one of the heterodyne type, comprising six stages of radio frequency amplification and two stages of audio frequency amplification. For over a year, the signal strengths of many stations were carefully measured, and the results showed that wireless signals could be received over long distance, over long periods each day from Europe and the Americas, and were sufficiently consistent to assure regular wireless communication between England and Australia. And tests between Kirirup and England proved that direct radio links were possible across the globe. AWA, which worked in conjunction with the Marconi Company, subsequently won the contract from the Australian government to construct and maintain shortwave beam wireless stations capable of direct commercial services to Britain and Canada, which commenced in 1927. The Kirirup site continued to be used for radio experiments into the early 1930s, but was washed away in the huge floods of 1934. In 2010, the Wireless Institute of Australia celebrated the 100th anniversary of the foundation of the WIA and have organised amateur radio in Australia during 1910. As part of that celebration, the Gippsland Gate Radio and Electronics Club reenacted the historical important reception of the very first direct press message sent to the Kirirup station from the UK to Australia, which was received at 5 a.m. on December 5, 1921. The reenacted message was transmitted from the original Marconi station buildings in Carnarvon, Wales, UK, to the original location at Kirirup. The reception of this message and the hundreds of messages which followed it over the next 2 years also led to the crucial discovery of long-path transmissions and then the effect of ionospheric propagation that varied between day and night. So, the commemorative plaque was erected near the original receiving site at Kirirup, and it was unveiled at a ceremony in 2010. And if anybody listening to our program today is in Victoria or in particularly in Melbourne and has an interest in shortwave radio, a visit to the museum of the station where the plaque is situated is well recommended. No trace remains of the original infrastructure of the site. The land is now being developed for residential purposes. So that was a short history of the 1921 experimental wireless receiving station, which was at the outer Melbourne area of Kirirup in Victoria.
That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring.